This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Faith is a very important characteristic. Actually, we are told without it, we cannot please God. That's how important it is. It's something Jesus said if we had, we could move mountains and see miraculous wonders before our very eyes. The Bible is filled with stories of stunning events that many will claim today's science and technology prove these things could not happen. Many will insist it cannot be. Men cannot walk on water, nor can they heal a withered hand or raise the dead. And perhaps that is exactly why Jesus asks the question as to whether or not he will find faith on earth when he returns. Today's program will explore this relationship of Jesus and our faith.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. We're certainly glad you could join us today for the program. And I don't know if you're like me, perhaps you are, but I spend a lot of my time looking back on life. And oftentimes I find myself looking at life from the perspective of my kids and some of the events that they're going through in life and how things are in their world. And here recently, our daughter, you know, she went to prom, and I couldn't help but be a little bit nostalgic and think about the days in which I was growing up and perhaps the days you were growing up. I think I graduated, 1989? So we're going back some decades here as far as, and maybe I'm giving a little bit away about how old I am, but, you know, with this event of her prom, I got to thinking about the days of high school. You know, I didn't really care for school much, but I really liked my friends, and, you know, I can't help but come to the conclusion when I look back at how life was back then. Would you agree with me if I were to say that it just seemed like when we were growing up, you know, whatever generation you're from, that all of us would agree that we grew up in a very much different world than what our kids are growing up in today. It seems like every day we turn on the news, we hear of events like school shootings. I mean, who would have ever thought 20, 30 years ago that we would be dealing with school shootings? It, not just the occasional act of violence. It seems to be back-to-back violence in our schools and shooters and all the controversy about guns. And I'm not going to get into politics about guns and the Second Amendment today, but suffice it to say that our kids are growing up in a very different culture, more of a violent culture, than what we grew up in. And it seems like every time we turn on the news, there's all this negativity. You know, you turn on the news, there's always politics on and people are arguing back and forth and pointing figures. It just seems day in and day out that the problems of the world that beleaguer us and challenge our faith sometimes, it just seems to not be getting any better. Well, I think it's important that we acknowledge that it isn't very much of a different world than what we grew up in, and some of the challenges that we see going on in the world, from, you know, from Russia Gate to this uranium gate to all this pedophilia and all this violence and the wars and rumors of wars going on. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel like it's a challenge to our faith to be in the world that we are in today. And you're not alone if you feel that way, because if we always lived our life through the viewpoint and the lens of the TV and the negativity that we spend our time with and viewing, I'm sure you'd agree that it gets quite beleaguering. But you know what? It doesn't have to be viewed that way. Things don't have to be from that perspective all the time, because as Christians, or those of you who are searching for maybe Christianity, for some answers in your life, You know, there's one that we can turn to as the greatest example of faith. And I guess that's what I really want to talk about today, is how our faith holds up, or how we can maintain our faith in a world that, quite frankly, it just doesn't seem like it really cares about God or about anything other than itself. It can be quite tasking for us sometimes. But there is hope, and there's a wonderful example in a man named Jesus, who in fact was the Messiah, who gives us a wonderful example on how we can live a life in faith in spite of the things that we see going on around us that sometimes cause us to even falter sometimes in our faith. But before I continue in getting into the opening scripture, let me just bring your attention to some items that we'd like to make available to you. And as always, it's completely free of charge. We're not going to call you. We're not going to solicit. We're not going to hound you for money. We want to make these free of charge to you. Today we have a booklet that's entitled, Why We Keep the Law. And there's a good question in Christianity. Do we keep the law? Do we not keep the law? What role does the law have in our lives, if any at all? Well, that booklet will go a long way to answering that question. And then we have a CD that's entitled, He Will Never Leave You Nor Forsake You. Simply pick up your phone and dial 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. Or if you want to hit us up on the web, go to www.cgi.org. And maybe you have a question that might result from today's program. You can just simply go to your internet and into your email and type info@cgi.org, and we'll be glad to answer your questions. And by the way, while you're on the website, you will notice that we do have a weekly webcast that's available for you to view every Saturday. Now, you want to make sure that you do check the times on that webcast, because they may vary. So go ahead and check out the webcast there if you'd like, and go ahead and reach out to us and let us help you with your walk with Christ, and let us make these materials free of charge to you. But here we are talking about life and how sometimes the things and the events and the world events or some certain circumstances that we find ourselves in might be a little bit challenging to our faith sometimes. So how do we maintain our perspective on faith? And really, when you think about faith, what does it mean? Well, it's really about trust. It's the things that we have hope and trust in. And a lot of people have faith in a lot of the wrong things. Some people's faith is in money. Some people, like we talk about, some people's faith and hope for mankind is in politics. Perhaps people's faith and their hopes in a certain politician or a certain religious leader. Or maybe it's the economy. We have all these different faiths and different things. But quite frankly, when you take a look at some of these tangible items that we're talking about, that we have our faith in, would you not agree that all these items at some point in our lives will let us down? Mankind will always let you down. The items in this world, money, that'll always let you down. But there is really only one true constant in this world that we can count on as the author and the finisher of our faith, and resides secure for eternity and will never leave us nor forsake us. And it's very important to understand that even sometimes when our faith isn't as strong as it should be, that Jesus the Christ, as long as we embrace Him and accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there to pick us up. And He's the one true constant that we can always count on in life. And He makes us a promise. But in addition to that, I would argue the point that Jesus is perhaps the best example of faith and how to have faith that has ever existed in history. Consider this man, and we break into the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 after Paul. I do believe it was Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, but he talks about all these different people of faith. He talks about Isaac and Jacob. He talks about Joseph and Moses, as we read down through Rahab and Joshua, all these different heroes of faith. Who suffered a lot of things in their lifetime, and he goes on through this, and he comes to a conclusion here, and a mission here in chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. And you know, life is a lot like a race. It takes patience. It takes conditioning. You know, it takes a lot of, it takes a lot of exercise, and it takes a lot of right diet. But the thing about it is, life is likened unto a race. And really, when you look at this, you can be discouraged during that race. You may find yourself not wanting to complete the race as we find our faith faltering. But there's the key component to this in this thing called faith, and it is to consider how people that have walked before us in this walk with Christ have succeeded in this life of faith. And he gives us the answer of Jesus Christ. He says, how do you maintain this faith in spite of all these things, for these sins and all the weights that we see around us and the things that beleaguer us? How do we maintain our faith in this world? Well, here's one of the key components to this. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So he's making an acknowledgement here that it is possible to become weary and discouraged by the things that impact us either directly or indirectly, whether internal or external influences. There are things that can beleaguer us and challenge us. And there is no other greater example in the world or in history that has existed than Jesus Christ on exactly how we endure in this race of life. Because really, when you consider this thing called faith, a lot of people consider faith really just another element to this thing called belief, honestly, when you consider it. But there is an important aspect to the challenges that we see in life, and I think sometimes that we minimize, we marginalize, and quite frankly, we don't quite get it. But really, when you think about it, how do you know your faith is valid? All these different faith that we have in different things, how do you really know that your faith is valid in this life? Let me submit this to you for your consideration, that as the Apostle Paul, in his preceding chapter 11 here, also known as the Hall of Faith, as he begins to lead us into the author and the finish of our faith, Jesus Christ, he acknowledges something that's very, very vital and key to our understanding when it comes to this thing called faith. There is something that everybody in this life, namely those, and specifically those for today's context of the message today, specifically those who followed Christ through history, you know, there's one thing we all have in common when it comes to this thing called faith, and it serves as a validation, and that is namely this. Do you realize that faith, in order to be validated, it has to be tried and challenged? How else would you know that your faith in Christ is true, or His words are true, unless you go through something, you find yourself in certain circumstances that seem so insurmountable, until you come through the other side? And you can look back on it and you can realize that, you know what? Jesus Christ, His words were true. They are valid. He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. And specifically, in whatever circumstances you find yourselves in, no matter how unpleasant, no matter how beleaguering, no matter how challenging, you look back on whatever you just came through and you realize that your faith was validated because Christ never leaves you nor forsakes you. So I would submit to you for your consideration that the challenges that we find ourselves in, they're not necessarily there to counter our faith. Sometimes God allows the challenging of our faith in order for our faith to become a reality in our lives, to make us stronger, to see the reality of Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and our High Priest. So sometimes we don't really consider the importance of what we're going through and how it makes us stronger in our faith and our walk with Jesus Christ. Now, there are some things about faith that we need to consider. I've talked about faith faltering. Maybe it's not as strong as it should be as times as, you know, as we go through our challenges, and quite naturally as human beings, our emotions get the best of us sometimes. But, you know, he makes a statement here in Hebrews chapter 6. I think it's vital for our understanding in today's topic. Hebrews chapter 6. And as we read down through this, you'll see, I don't want to read through the whole thing, but let's just read down through. We'll start in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So really, what is faith? Faith is an elementary principle of our walk with God. It is something that is so key and vital that Paul's saying, look, let's not lay these again, because we should understand what they are, but sometimes it's hard to see through struggles and trials, especially through some of the nastiness and some of the violence we see on TV and the news media. Sometimes those things can either cause people to lose their faith, or what we can do is we can look at the scriptures and how God, He foretold the conditions that we would live in these end times, and thereby see this is not necessarily here to challenge my faith. It's there to validate God's word. So it's just a condition that we live in sometimes. And he continues here, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, of resurrection from the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible, it's a very strong word that the Apostle Paul is using here, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them to repentance. So we look at all these things, and quite frankly, yeah, it does challenge us at times. But when you consider what Jesus Christ is offering, the salvation that he has for us, I mean, really, what's worth giving up our salvation for? I mean, the news, the things that we see, they challenge our faith. Of course they challenge our faith. Every day our faith is challenged, but it really just is a simple matter of taking a look at the world and the conditions we live in and understand why we see the things going on that we do, and why the conditions exist as they do, because there is somebody who is responsible for the things that we see going on in this world. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 7, there's a scripture that I want to get to because it's very, very important to understanding this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 7. And it is really a Christian perspective that gains us the strength to walk through some of the things that we find ourselves walking through. See, if we, as people in this world, living in the conditions we find ourselves in, if we were to walk life or live life by the things that we see, wow, we would become most miserable, wouldn't we? Especially the way things are presented to us nowadays. It hardly seems like there's ever any good news. Good news doesn't really sell. Tragedy sells. Tragedy gets the ratings up. And that's one reason why it's so appealing to people. But here's what he says. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, we'll just go down through here, verse 7. He says, "For we know that if our early house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with a habitation which is from heaven." We're looking forward to a better life, right? And he continues down through here, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by this life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Spirit is our guarantee. "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are in this home, in the body, we are absent from the world." We get the picture that we want a better life. And this isn't talking about the immortality of the soul and going to heaven after you die. It's talking about to be desirous of having a better way of life, a better condition of life, of immortality. But he says this, he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And that is the vital component to understanding how we walk through this life and how faith intermingles with God's Holy Spirit and how we get through some of the things that we do. Because quite frankly, oftentimes the things that we see, that the perception might be that things are all gloom and doom and bad, but really it can cause us to lose sight of the hope that is laid before us of this eternal life that Jesus Christ offers us. So if we walked by everything that we are visually exposed to day in and day out, I mean, who wouldn't be discouraged? So our focus, our goal, our perspective has to be looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith and our salvation, and, you know, start to look forward to the time that is to come, which Jesus Christ will bring about justice and execute righteousness and his law back into this earth, because quite frankly, a lot of the things that we see going on in our world that are negative, it's because people have no regard for anybody else and they have no value in this system of law that guarantees our liberties. And therefore, you know, we see all these tragedies that are going on. So our perspective in life ought to bring us to the point where we understand that everything happens for a reason, but we can't have our hope in these earthly things. That our hope resides in the heavens with Jesus Christ as the one who will never leave us and forsake us. And quite frankly, there is a spiritual truth that the Bible depicts that sometimes we forget that, you know, God is not the ruler of this world in this present time. That there is one out there who is wreaking havoc in the world, and the reason why we see things going on in the world that we do is because he brings about lawlessness and carnality. He brings about challenges to our faith. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeing who he might devour. So there's a reason why we see things going on the way that we do, and we find ourselves discouraged. But, you know, quite frankly, God, you know, he foretold this. So that should be a validation of our faith, not a ruiner of our faith. But let's just read in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go just through a few short verses here, beginning of verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." Notice that. We don't lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, notice the lowercase g here, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How much value do we place in these scriptures that have been given to us as a means of validation for our belief systems, as a means by which we guide our lives, and really a guidebook of which we can find hope in a world that, quite frankly, sometimes doesn't want to reveal any kind of hope to us at all? It's a spiritual reality that we live in, that there is an adversary out there. He wants to blind our eyes. He wants to steal the truth. He wants to give us a perspective on life that causes us to want to stop running this race. And that's his job. But that doesn't mean that God is just sitting up there in heaven with Jesus at his right hand, not caring, not aware. You know, nothing is going on without his awareness. And his awareness specifically with whatever you're going through, he is aware. We do have his attention. And Jesus Christ, as he said, will never leave us nor forsake us. And if Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, has us as his most prized possession, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. And that's a promise that we can count on regardless of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. You know, people have money problems. People have health problems. People have relationship problems. There's all kinds of problems that we go through, and we can either choose to allow those problems and circumstances to break us and to stop us, or you know what we could do? We could take those opportunities as our challenges come to us to hit them head on, to meet them head on, and allow them to make us better people and validate our faith in Jesus Christ and turn to him more and more as we see the world devaluing Jesus Christ. You know, we just can't buy into that theology. We just can't buy into those lies, because he did, in fact, make us some promises that there is a better life that is to come. In Galatians chapter 6, if I could turn there real quick, Galatians chapter 6, there is something that we cannot afford to do as we walk with Jesus Christ, or as we search for Jesus Christ and answers to things why we see that they are in the world. And he says in verse 24, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And bearing one another's burdens goes a long way to fulfilling Christ's law. You know, the Ten Commandments that teaches us how to love God and how to love our fellow man. Realize this, that as we walk through this life, we're never alone. Jesus is always there. And, you know, we're never going through any kind of circumstances that are so bad and so seemingly insurmountable that there's not someone else that hasn't been in your predicament and can't, if not sympathize with, at least empathize with your conditions. So we bear one another's burdens. We need to reach out and get some help and some support from some people sometimes if we need to. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Notice the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospels that are in the New Testament scriptures. Well, that really comes from an ancient word that means God's spell or good news. The Bible does, it doesn't predict, it foretells. It foretells a lot of bad things that are going to come down on planet Earth right before Jesus Christ returns, and specifically right after he returns. It's going to be pretty bad, but he doesn't leave us without hope. He says, he continues here, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. For he who sows the flesh, but he will sow the, but let me back up. He says, for he who sows the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But of who knows with the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And that is the perspective that we have in order to face the challenges of life. That we can't discontinue our doing good just because we see things going on around us. We can't grow weary in the season that we find ourselves in. But there is a key component. His name is Jesus Christ. His law, his way of doing things, that's where our faith is in. And let me, before we close today, just bring your attention once again to the literature, to the CD that we want to make available to you completely free of charge. The booklet, Why We Keep God's Law. Some people say that the law is counter faith, but really the law establishes our faith, as you'll see in that booklet. And also the CD, He Will Never Leave You Nor Forsake You, a promise that we can surely count on as we find ourselves in the circumstances of life. So why don't you reach out to us, if you would please, at 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. And while you're thinking about getting those free literature items, why don't you take a look on the website at cgi.org and view us there. We also have a telecast that you can see every Saturday. Times will vary, so you might want to check those before you go on to view the webcast. And if you have any questions that are a result of today's program, please just message us at info@cgi.org on your email. We'll be happy to answer any question you may have. But until next time, friends, you remember, you put on that armor of God, and I'll keep mine on, and we'll see you here next time.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.